This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome this evening to Dystopical, folks. Kat and I are in the studio.
What was that noise?
I'm not quite sure. But Kat and I are in the studio this evening, and we are welcoming you. Sorry, I just lost my English there for
a
second.
It's been a long week, and it's only Tuesday.
I know. I think it's actually the weather.
No, I think it's the fact that it's the end of semester for me.
Well,
My brain is mashed.
I have a home with a tin roof, and so you can hear absolutely everything coming down, you know, when it's raining hard. When it was raining hard and the wind was blowing like yesterday, like last night it was, I kept waking up every, you know, few minutes going, oh my God. You know, something's happened.
Really?
The roof's caving in. Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't hear anything.
It was genuinely a scary experience because I'm also on a like a bunk bed, so I'm closer to the roof even than, you know, most people.
Okay, this is just self-torture. I'm on the ground floor of a two-story house, and I didn't hear a thing.
I know. So sometimes it can be quite romantic with, you know, with the wind and the rain, but last night it wasn't. And, you know, apparently there was, you know, a few calls for support from the state emergency services and stuff. So anyway,
fascinating.
If you're listening to us this evening, then
yeah, we are not the weather show.
Then hopefully you are home, you're safe and sound, and you're snuggled up listening to Dystopical.
And not in a bunk bed with a tin roof.
Correct.
Because apparently that's really bad.
On this particular occasion. So this evening, Kat and I are talking about our reflections on, you know, getting older in the scene and, you know, getting older in the community and age differences and, you know, in an era where it can be pretty youth focused, what that means to us, I guess.
Yeah, and kind of both ways, you know. Ageism works both
ways.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. Yep. So we're talking about the, you know, how it works both ways, hopefully, in a sec. And if you want to weigh in and tell us how you feel about age differences on the scene, whether you've ever felt, you know, discriminated against in any way, or whether you feel really comfortable about, you know, the age differences that are out there and celebrating the diversity of that, then you can text us at 0427JOY949. You can Facebook us at Dystopical, become our friend. It's DYSTOPICAL. Or email us at dear.dystopical@gmail.com. And we'll be playing you a couple of tracks and getting right back into the discussion. All right, good evening. So we were just listening to The Sea is Rising. That's Bliss and Esso. I quite like them, actually. They've got a bit of a political slant, which, you know, I'm a fan of. And then Flawless, a classic, George Michael.
Is it a classic? Is that like an old song?
Yeah, yep. It is. George Michael. George Michael is like, he's not in...
Well, he's a classic.
Yeah, he is.
I love George Michael, but... Okay. Moving right along.
He's not in the top 40 anymore, and he hasn't been for a while, I would imagine.
I love him.
Okay. So this evening, Kat and I are talking about age differences in our community and how, you know, it is quite a unique place where people that are quite young start to, you know, go out and mix with people that are significantly older and, you know, the interesting dynamics that can come out of that and the benefits for, you know, older people and younger people.
Yeah, and I guess we're going to talk about the benefits and also what we think is hard about that. It's always really interesting when you have a group of people that are thrown together by, you know, a like particular criteria, or in this case, maybe criterion, which is sexual orientation, is that it tends to be a much more diverse group than in various other social scenes.
Right. Because I, you know, I've got different social groups that, you know, and I started to cultivate them differently. And by far, this is, you know, when I go out in the gay scene, by far, I see people of, you know, different ages, of different stripes, of different colors, not colors as much, but different stripes, definitely, you know, different sort of economic status, educational status. So it is, it's quite an interesting mix of people that you get together, as opposed to, you know, your usual Friday night drinks, which is,
like,
you know,
work drinks,
which is with colleagues. And
which
people.
Obviously has age differences, but, you know, you're all, you know, of a similar, you know, educational standard or, you know, experience.
Right, and you have similar sort of interests when it comes to, let's say, you know, politics or the environment or, you know, these things are definite commonalities that you know that you have with people that you work with, similar values, I guess.
Yeah, well. And I guess what you're doing is you're interacting, you're socializing with, you're having relationships with people that are in different places in the various different spheres of their lives when it comes to, like, you know, work or their social life or relationships and family and health and things that they want to achieve. And I think that's, you know, I think that's quite an interesting aspect of any gay scene, whether it's the male gay scene or the female gay scene or and I find it really interesting to both look at and see how we manage to make it work and also the things that don't work about it. And I guess we're going to talk about both of those things tonight.
Yeah, and I guess while we're typically talking about, you know, the going out scene, which is, you know, the bars and all that kind of stuff, there's also lots of other things that connect members of the community across the generations. And and I really love to, you know, see who's out there in the audience when it comes to events like, you know, the Melbourne Queer Film Festival or, you know, even Pride or, you know, people that listen to Joy, because they're obviously, you know, much wider spectrum and they connect over over being queer, I guess.
Yeah.
Over and above the other things that people do connect over or become friends over.
Yeah, we're not just all hanging out together because, you know, we've all got the same job.
Yeah.
Or all the same skin colour.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're connecting over something that's got very little to do with how old you are or where you come from. And I do think that's something that makes the queer community quite interesting. So I think maybe should we start off positively or negatively? What do you think?
I think let's start out with the things that are difficult and then we'll move on to the things that are great.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you go first.
All right. So I guess one of the motivating factors, one of them, and there's many of them, you know, if we're trying to connect with other queer people, is the whole thing about going out to find, you know, a significant other. And I do feel like when you go out into the queer scene, it's a lot harder to, you know, assess according to age, you know, what you're looking for, because it's all sort of out there for you. When you go to a bar in the city, you know that there's going to be people that, you know, are 9-to-5ers, that knockoff, that, you know, are suits or whatever it is. You're going to be coming in and expecting a certain kind of demographic to be there. But when you go out in the scene, you really
have, it's a real mix.
It's a bit of a lottery sometimes. It's a bit of a surprise pick of, you know, what's there and what's not.
Absolutely. And in terms of just age, if you happen to be one of those people like me, I'm pretty bad at being able to tell what age someone is anywhere between about 22 and 45. So, you don't necessarily know what you're getting. And
You could just ask.
Of course you can ask. But then I'm always surprised. And I'm not trying to sound ageist, and I'm sure that there are people that will take it that way, but I really do think that at different stages in your life, you have different needs and wants and desires and foci. And so,
yeah.
And so, it can be difficult, I think, to make things work across a big age gap. Sometimes it works as well, but you know, my parents are 15 years apart, but then they got together in the 60s. So,
and things were different back then.
Yeah, or something. But yeah, I do find it really interesting that also because when you meet people, it can also be, you know, through friends. And so I have friends that are much younger because I I am part of this community.
Which I think is really refreshing. We'll talk about that when it comes to
all the positives.
The positives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But also, so if I meet their friends, then they all can seem really young to me. Or, you know, I've got friends that are much older as well, and then all their friends seem really old. So,
and I think it's really good when, you know, all you're out for is a bit of a party and, you know, you want to go, you want to have fun, you want to dance, you want to meet a few people. But I think for more sort of, you know, significant things, like if you're really genuinely in search of a relationship, or you want to find friends that you could possibly do other things with, like, I don't know, go to political rallies or whatever it is that, you know, friends of a certain shared interest do together, then it can be a bit more daunting, because I found that a lot of the, you know, friends that I have made initially on the gay scene were friends that I made that were around socializing and going to queer events together, that was around, you know, dancing and partying and stuff. And once that initial buzz of doing those things is over, it's kind of harder to find what those shared interests are.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to go into more depth about things that I personally find difficult.
Yeah.
But I think first we might play some more music.
For sure. All right, welcome back. So we've just been listening to, that was MIA, I hope I'm saying it right, Paper Planes. She's an interesting character, an artist, I think, and a musician, and Sri Lankan, I think, of
really?
Origin. Yeah. But I think she's cool. British, of Sri Lankan origin. Anyway, that's her. And then that was a bit of a mix between Beyoncé and the Black Eyed Peas. And it's two songs that we know really, really well. So I'm not sure if they work together.
I liked it.
As a mix. But yeah, I thought it was worth a go. Anyway. Yeah. All right. So back to the matter at hand.
Tonight we're talking about age differences in the queer women's community. First of all, we're going to talk about things that we think that are difficult,
yeah,
I guess, about it. You want to start?
Yeah, sure. So I think that one of the things that is probably quite difficult is starting to get a really sort of diverse group of friends together. So you're looking at people that start to hang out together based on the fact that they're queer or they're part of a queer scene. But that means that they can be anywhere from, you know, 18 and, you know, just having finished high school to being in their, you know, late 40s, early 50s, having come through several relationships, and, you know, looking to meet new people. And I think that can be an interesting dynamic. Not necessarily a bad one, just an interesting one. And there, I know that you've said that you've got a few, you know, fears about, or some of the tendencies that can emerge from this. You know, one of the things that you were saying was possible cynicism on the part of, you know, older women.
Oh, I do feel like sometimes I feel really concerned because, you know, and I'm saying this as, you know, someone who's probably towards the older end of the spectrum when I go out.
These days.
Yeah, not that I'm that old, but, you know, comparatively speaking, when if we're talking about, like, you know, bars and stuff, I guess, you know, this, and it sounds like a bit of a cliche, but you know, you do have that kind of world-weary cynicism, and I kind of worry about, you know, older women
rubbing off their
cynicism onto, you know, younger, enthusiastic girls, and I don't know what the benefits of that particularly are, especially when it comes to, look, I made a pact with Farine tonight that I wasn't going to say anything really negative on the show, but sometimes I just really do want to say negative things about, about the lesbian
scene.
You
say something negative and I'll counter it with something.
Okay, great.
I'll try and turn it around. How about that?
Look, and I'm not at all saying that this is universal because it certainly isn't, but one of the problems that I find, given all the other issues within the lesbian community, when it comes to mental health issues, when it comes to substance abuse, et cetera, is when I see older women with younger women, and especially knowing some of the stories that I know that were quite formative for people with older women when they were, you know, young mm-hmm. lesbians, mm-hmm. I worry about the impacts that that older women can have on younger women when it comes to, I don't know, what am I trying to say?
Oh, well, I don't know. I've had some different experiences from you. And I remember when I was first starting uni, wondering, you know, what to do, where to go, who to see, how to get out there. This was, you know, about 10 years ago now, I think. And I remember meeting some older women on campus, or, you know, that were part of this sort of rape crisis anti-violence support center that I was also, you know, working at, and they were queer, and they actually really took me under their wing and showed me the scene. And even though I might have been, you know, the slightly unpopular, weirdly dressed girl from Africa, that wasn't a cool New Yorker, which they were, I think that they, in a really non-predatory way, in a really non, you know, cynical way, sort of showed me what was what and took me around and made me feel like that scene belonged to me too. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a really great way of, you know, sharing their knowledge and their experience without being condescending. So for right. me, that was a really positive formative experience.
Okay, well, thank you for
being the
positive.
Younger person, you know, that was mm-hmm. around the older people.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are lots of positives as well, but this is the this is the not dwelling on the positive section.
That's right. I was trying to turn that around.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I'm gonna bring up another negative. Okay, this might sound a little shallow, but there's financial differences. You know, when you're talking about, let's just call it a 20-year spread mm-hmm. in a demographic, okay? You know, at a certain age, you tend to be a little more settled in your career and you're making money and et cetera, et cetera. And younger people aren't necessarily like that. And so in terms of dating across like wide age ranges, I think that can become a little awkward.
No, I don't think that's necessarily true, because I do think that we go through phases with our economic sort of liquidity. And speaking from the recent experience of someone myself who, you know, is not going through an immense amount of financial liquidity at this particular point in time, I think that you have people of all sort of economic statuses, and, you know, age doesn't really have that much to do with how much money you have to spend. And I actually think that when you're younger, you probably have a little bit more money, you know, to spend on, you know, socializing and dating and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, because
you don't have a mortgage.
So serious about it, yep.
Yeah, you don't have a mortgage. You don't have possibly kids. You don't have all of that sort of stuff. Save for your retirement, you know, whatever it is.
Okay, little Miss Happiness. What about what about ageism then?
Okay.
What about the culture of youth?
Okay, now, The gay community has often been accused of ageism and of, you know, this sort of obsession with youth. And granted, if you look at magazines and if you look at sort of, I think
society in general has
society
a bit of
in general.
Youth cult, yeah.
I think this might just be a reflection of what we see in society, and because there's less rules and less rigidity, perhaps, in our community, we see it more. I don't know. What do you think about that?
That's something that I disagree with. Actually, I feel that the lesbian community accommodates age difference really well, and I feel like it's actually quite inclusive. I mean, I think the difficulties with that lie. I mean, my personal experience is that people do really make friends across very wide age gaps. However. I think the difficulty can come in when it comes to, like, hanging out and doing stuff, like accommodating the interests of, like, younger friends and older friends.
And that can be interesting, I think, which is why you have things like film festivals and, you know, movies and stuff that you can go together. But at a certain point, I can't recover as fast from a weekend of, you know, benders.
No, I can't. I just can't do it. That doesn't mean I can't go.
Okay.
I just can't, you know, do all the things that I used to do.
All right. Now, with the ageism thing, I know you're saying it's better and it's more integrated, but we still do have stereotypes in our community. We have, you know, the terms that we use in jest, but, you know, sometimes we can use it in a derogatory fashion, baby dykes or, you know, cougars. Now, this isn't necessarily...
I find both of those terms actually offensive.
Why?
Well, because they're both meant to be derogatory. Like, calling someone a baby dyke is like saying that, you know, that they're too little to, like, really count as a normal person. And calling someone a cougar tends to imply a predatoriness.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that, I mean, I know it's generally used in a heterosexual sense, and in that sense, I actually find it more offensive because of the whole, you know, patriarchal notion that older men with younger women is fine, but older women with younger men is really revolting and predatory. However,
which then starts to get very confusing when you have two women together who are of significantly different ages.
Well, and I do think that those values carry over as well, because... you know, there's a lot of research that has gone into this kind of evaluation that we don't really have any other role models because, you know, funding has never really gone into looking a lot at the queer community. So therefore, whatever happens in the heterosexual community is what we tend to be socialized with, obviously, and we don't have a lot of information to the contrary. So I feel that, those kind of stereotypes get carried over. And that can get really confusing because, you know, like is an older woman with a younger woman, like, is that bad? I don't know, like...
And also with the baby dyke thing, I can understand how people get quite offended with that just because, and that's because... If you're a younger woman on the gay scene, and if you're a younger woman that's known their whole life, you know, what they are and who they are, you have amassed, you know, probably as much experience as an older woman who's just recently come out or just recently realized her sexuality.
Well, in terms of your sexuality, yes, yeah. But in terms of your life experience, no.
Probably not. All right, so we're going to play a couple of tracks, and when we come back, we'll talk about the good things.
Okay.
Which there are. And welcome back. So Kat and I have just been talking about age differences in our community and things that we think have been sort of bad about that. And now we're moving on to things that are potentially good about that. So, and just before we do that, Kat, we were just listening to White Lines with Bonja. They're a local band.
Are they?
Yes, they are. And got to get through this, David Bedingfield. All right, so things that are good. Now, I was talking earlier about a positive experience I had about, you know, friendships and relationships that sort of are about people that are different ages and how those different experiences actually enrich your life. I don't know. Do you have a different take on this?
Look, I don't have a problem with age differences, actually, and I think that there are there can be lots of benefits both ways, especially when it comes to relationships. I mean, there's always the benefit when it comes to sex, having sex with someone who's older than you, because you can learn lots of really great things, and generally, you know, they've had more practice. And, that's
look,
awesome.
I'm actually in a relationship with someone that's, you know, older, and I feel like the age dynamics are working really well, where I can be quite, you know, flighty and, you know, quite all over the place. There's someone who's, you know, more solid and who has the wisdom of having seen this sort of stuff.
I know, but what if you happen to be like have a flighty personality and you're dating someone younger?
Well, then that's, you know, hopefully you balance each other out that way too.
Look, there are other really good things about it. Like we were talking before when I was talking about the negatives, you know, being, you know, getting more cynical and jaded as you get older. And I was thinking about this the other night. I was sitting on the door at the Glass House for the Lick fundraiser, because your sister was, you know, organising it as well, and I'm a sucker, and she needed help, so, you know, there I was, marking my essays, which I had to do, and I remembered how nice it is sometimes to be around people that are a lot younger than you, because, you know, there was a lot of really bubbly, really enthusiastic, really sweet people there that, you know, I got to hang out with and chat to, and sometimes I think it can be really invigorating, you know, to be around people that don't have You know, we're talking about people, I'm talking about people anyway, that are like 15 or more years younger than me, and they don't have the same kind of, you know, work stresses or, you know, responsibilities, I guess, in certain ways that you feel weighed down by. And I don't know, sometimes I feel like, yeah, it's just really invigorating to be around that kind of, you know, enthusiasm and lightness.
And
it makes me feel younger.
And one thing I quite like about it is that, you know, if I hadn't had all the exposure that I do to, you know, younger people, I would still be stuck listening to R.A.M.
Is there a problem with that?
No. It's great. It's great. There's nothing wrong with it. Madonna, you know, Eurythmics, which we'll be playing later, actually.
Because we get to choose the music. And we're old.
Yeah. And, you know, Tracy Chapman. So those are the things I was listening to and still continue to listen to. So it's great to have exposure to people who have different ideas and different concepts of what good music is, and to be exposed to what's going on the scene at the moment in terms of music. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, absolutely. Look, I think there's benefits both ways.
And that's why when we wrap, we're going to be playing you both Justin Bieber and the Eurythmics. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, Justin Bieber. Awesome. So we just got a text from someone called Andy, who said that his ex-boyfriend was 73 and he was 33 and they never had any problems, only love, and they complemented each other perfectly.
See, so it does work and it can work. And thank you, Andy, for texting in and telling us that, which actually leads us to our dear dystopical question, which is, you know, it's the agony aunt column that we usually have on our show. The question is, I have a much older partner who isn't interested in a lot of the things that my friends are and vice versa. What do I do? And this isn't necessarily about shared interests with each other. It's shared interests with the social groups, isn't it? It's the friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a tough one because you kind of want your friends to get along with your partner.
You do. And there's quite a lot of pressure around that as well. But surely there are things that you can find that are of common interest. If it's not music, then it must be, you know, movies or theater or books or just having a chat, cooking each other a meal.
Yeah, you know, and also, look, I think as long as you're polite to each other's friends and friendly to each other's friends, I think sometimes too much emphasis is placed on, you know, life merging. You don't actually have to do everything together. I think that's a bit of a fairy tale. And I don't actually think it's necessarily that healthy. I think it's important for people to have their own lives. So, you know, if you're not age compatible or interest compatible with each other's friends, you can at least mutually respect the fact that you all care about the same person.
Yeah.
And then I don't see what the problem is.
Well, that's a nice way to end that, I think. All right. So on next week's show, we are talking about the best of lesbian films. We have
award-winning now.
Yes. Yep. An avid, you know, film. Oh, she's a writer. She's a director.
Obsessive watcher of
an obsessive watcher of critic of lesbian films. So we'll have her on the show talking about what she thinks. And up next is TJ and Keza. They've got a 2-hour feature on. They're looking at the Soundwave, which is apparently a metal festival, not something I know much about.
I didn't know
and
that.
Because we're almost out of time, we've got to choose between Justin Bieber and a remix of Sweet Dream by Eurythmics. I'll let you pick.
Okay. Given my advanced years, I'll go with... I'm going to do it. Justin Bieber.
Oh, nice pick.
Good night, everyone.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.